Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Today, we do want to honor fathers, and I ask the Lord things like, what would help our dads the most? Because I'm blessed and amazed that we have a great group of men. You know, we're not like a lot of churches that I say are full of the ladies and absent the men. We got a great balance. We got everybody. And I'm proud to know that there are men that want to serve the Lord, that want to put Him first, that want to remain faithful to God and faithful to a family in a world that is full of chaos and an enemy of God that tries to bring chaos in to affect the family, to cause it to have trouble, to cause people to not be faithful to one another. Faithfulness is an amazing mark for the blessing of God to come. You can count on faithfulness building something that is for the kingdom of God, but also something that will cause a legacy-like nature to come about your family. Faithfulness does that. Now, God put that in us, or the potential for us to be faithful in us. So we're going to look at a few scriptures today, and you know, I'm in covenant with you that at 11:30, you can go put the steak on the grill or whatever it is you're doing today, all right? Because I read the poll of what do men most want in America. It was an American poll for Father's Day. The number one answer was for every kid to make a phone call. You know, be in touch with their dad. The second one was a big, fat, juicy steak, preferably on the grill and in some cases at certain restaurants. The third was quiet time with the remote control. So if that's a picture of your Father's Day, you're on par with most guys. Just some peace and quiet, good food, and the right people saying, I love you and I care about you. You know, that sounds like a pretty simple order to fill, really. But yeah, today is designed really to fulfill something that's in the scripture, and I want to point to it. Then I want to do pull a few verses that are really going to build up and encourage our dads, because I think we need all the help we can get. We need all the encouragement that we can get, and I'm quick to admit that, quick to say that that's the case. Get all the help we can get. Deuteronomy 5:16 talks about family honor and that it's a necessary thing to have honor in the family if we want the blessing of God. And this was very early on. It says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. So it's a commandment. And it has promise attached to it that your days will be prolonged. And people say, well, that means long life. That's one thing it means. But it also means that you'll get done in a day what you need to get done. I need that part of that verse. And that it may go well with you. That means in everything, that generally you have the favor of God on you and things will go your way in the land which the Lord your God gives you. In other words, God's got a place for you to be blessed and prosper, and honoring mom and dad has quite a bit to do with that. So we carve out some days in the year to talk about that, to encourage us to do that. And I think that those three things that dads like could happen any day of the year and it would be an honoring thing. Okay, just to throw that out there. I think that we sometimes have to wait for a day and we shouldn't have to wait for a day. But this verse talks about a land that God's promised, a place that God wants to take us, and He's referring to a way to get there that seems simple, but it's honoring human relationships the right way, even if there are challenges in life. Now, dads don't always feel like they're in the promised land. Many times they feel like they're struggling to get through a door that they can't find. Life is challenging. Every dad that I know, one of the hallmarks of becoming a dad is you suddenly recognize, I've got to be a better provider. And when you become a dad the second time, it doubles. And a third time, if there's a third time, you go, oh, dear Lord, and they're all boys, children, or whatever they're going to eat. Or there's four, and they're going to drink 3 gallons of milk a day between the four. I'm getting some nods. And why? So it makes sense that God would tell us, I've got a place, a special place for you that I can provide that is a promised land for you, and make sure you're honoring the upline so I can provide for your downline. Honoring upward always brings provision downward. It's a principle of the kingdom. So if you find yourself today in one of those places where, man, life could be better and I need to enter into that place of promise and I've not found it yet, when we are faithful in the wilderness times, and we will have them. I'm not going to get up and tell the men there's not moments of wilderness. There's moments of wilderness, if for no other reason, to let us know we need to look toward the promised land. We need to enter in there. And what does that is honoring, when we come into those moments, choosing to honor God and take the whole family in that direction and say, all right, God, you're our source of supply. What we're trying to do on our own is not enough. And if you've ever felt like that, that's at least the fringe or the border of a wilderness moment. And God is still there. But what he's wanting to do is show us how easy it is to shift our focus back on him. A way that helps dads honor God is for kids to honor dad. Something that helps kids honor dad is to see dad honoring God. It's all intertwined. And what the devil tries to do, stop any of that from happening, because we think somehow there has to be a special action or something deserved or a special day set aside, hallmarked, so we do these things. And the one way that you release the provision of God's promise is just to choose to be honoring. Choose to be honoring just because God said to do it, because of the connection and the relationship. When we don't honor, it breaks down our upline to the throne of God. Scripture proves that. Now, that's pretty serious. So we're starting out with a serious matter. Then we're going to backbuild how to keep ourselves in the blessing of God as families, because we want God's help. I think every generation probably feels this way, but dads need all the help they can get, but they don't like to talk about it. Don't like what we're kind of taught in the world system, a man better be all and everything. And we know that's not possible. We know that God fills the gaps, and still we feel like we've got some gaps sometimes. If for no other reason, we run out of time to do everything we want to do in a day. And we wish we could do more, wish we could say more, wish we could be more, wish we were a better example. Be happy that you're loving God the way you are, and that you are God's example to your family. I learned to choose to not be discontent when I don't feel like I'm doing good enough, and look up. Look to the Lord and say, help me make more of a difference and do a better job. Now, I want to go to Proverbs 20, just verse 20, because there's something we've got to start out with that's foundational. I know that some folks have terrible experiences in a father-son, father-daughter relationship. I want to address that, because you don't want whatever your life experience is to stop you from choosing to honor anyway. I know that many times there are moments where there's falling out between generations. That doesn't mean we don't choose to honor, because we're looking higher, we're looking at our upline, and God says, do it or I can't bless you. That hardly seems fair. Yet most people in the earth choose honor because they want to honor the person that gave them something they wanted. Instead, we're supposed to honor just because God said to. We're to honor for a relationship that we are to cherish, even when things are tough. Now, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in obscure darkness. I wonder where the line is between honor and curse. So I would encourage you, I've had to learn in my life to lean toward mercy as much as I can, because I look at the scripture and it says, if you want mercy from God, be merciful. I think, I'm going to really focus on that because I want the mercy of God in my life. I look at this verse and I kind of think the same way. If there's honor that releases blessing and there's dishonor that puts my light out, spiritually speaking, or what that means is God will not direct your path in anything. That's what it means. God is saying if we choose to do it because he said to, he can bless us even if there's been problems, even if there's currently some discord. And I found that honor breaks, honor opens up forgiveness, honor opens up moving past things, honor moves into letting God be Heavenly Father if there's been a glitch somewhere. So I want to encourage you, I can't preach just a happy Father's Day sermon without touching on these guidelines, because we're not like the world. We have a kingdom standard, and a kingdom standard says even when it's not just right, you honor. So I want to encourage you today, go to the top of the list and make the phone call. If you can and you're in driving distance, make the drive. And if things are so tough between you that you know if you call, he'll say no, then don't call, just show. And I've learned when things are tough, think of what's next on the list. Bring something to eat. Meat is good, right? There are ways God gives us that we look at and we think, really, God expects this standard? He does. He says that if we don't do that for mom and dad, do not expect to be led by the Spirit of God. So much so, he says he will put a stop to it. So sometimes I think Christians get shut out of God's blessing because of problems in human relationships. And we don't want that to happen. Now we go on to what I would call the happier part of the day. All right. I like to end there, but I like to bring what the whole scripture says, because scripture isn't only to entertain us or make us feel good or let us know when we're doing right, but to let us know where the line is, because God draws some lines and he says, if you really want to walk in blessing and fellowship, these are the don't do kind of things. And when I listen to what mostly is being taught today, I don't hear a lot about don't do's. So I try to put a little bit of that in, because it's the balance. Now, this is all from Proverbs 20, where that big don't do just came from. Here's all the things we do want to do. I was going to say do-dos, but I'm not going to say it quite that way. God does lead and equip us. And I'm specifically talking about men and fathers today who love him. And to love him, we obey the commandments, is what Scripture says. It says, it is an honor for a man. This is verse 3 of Proverbs 20. We were just in verse 20, and I put that big thing first, so then we can go to all the things that protect us and help us walk in a way that the Holy Spirit can direct us. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. First thing he says is just choose to not get into it. I would recommend young men learn that before you find a young lady to marry. Makes for a happy home. Why? There will not always be agreement. Strife is a picture of dishonor occurring. Strife is a picture of how the enemy tries to get in and keep us from doing what Jesus would do in a situation and preferring the other person. So a beginning of success as a dad, as a father, is to have this quality that says, I'm going to know when I do not need to fight a battle. And when it's your wife, you don't need to. That's kind of what the scripture says. Now, say, we got into it this morning. Well, get out of it. Get out of it this afternoon. See, you can get out as quick as you get in and say, we're not having strife. We're stopping it before it gets to that level. See, you can have a talk. You can have a discussion. I hear a lot of preachers say they have little spats. Somewhere in there, after spat, there's a line where it gets into strife. It might be that tears are evidenced. It might be that you go in your room and I'll go in my room is evidenced, or somebody drives away fast in one of the vehicles. I don't know where the line is, but I'm going to tell you, find that line. Say, God, we're not going to cross over there into dishonor. We're going to prevent that. Verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. But a man of understanding will find a way to draw it out. That means if we're going to be God's man, we're living in an honoring kind of life, we will look for wise counsel in other people who love God. We've talked last week about where not to go for counsel. This week we're talking about where to go. Find somebody that has some depth spiritually. That when they talk to you, they don't only say, well, if it was me, this is what I would do, but rather they'll point to what the Bible says and tell you the Holy Spirit's going to show you what to do, so you are responsible for you, but here's what God says. That's always good counsel. But a man of understanding will draw it out. That means we don't do kind of like the world kind of puts this standard up for men that they try to carry into fatherhood. I'm a paragon of strength and I do everything myself and I'm not moved until a tree falls on them. You know, something happens and they're moved, you know. The situation's bad enough that they're affected. Scripture says there's to be a connection between people. But this whole passage is especially talking about men and that we should be able to look to one another to draw on something we need. So if you are a young father, look to an older father that's been through some stuff if you need to be pointed to some wisdom. But again, if they say, well, if it was me, I would do it this way, I don't know that that's wisdom. That's experience. Rather than experience, I'd look for the wisdom. And if they say that, well, what do you base that on? You know, give me a scripture. Why? We want the Word of God to stand on because that's who we're going to be accountable to in how we do family. See, God's drawing with this passage, this whole passage, an accountability to Him as our Heavenly Father that will cause the Father's nature and anointing to come into the family of God and to pass on to the generations. One of the things that I think needs to happen in Christian homes is a greater openness from the dad to share with the kids how God speaks to him and deals with him and leads him by the Holy Spirit's help. So we're looking at this passage to find out, how does the Holy Spirit lead a man? Leads women the same way. But a lot of times, in my experience, I've watched women learn this faster than men. Because men are trying to produce the income and focus so much on that we forget God's got a promised land to produce that income that is going to be the best possible way to make a living. He has that for each person. Now, most men, verse 6, can brag on themselves. That's paraphrase. But a faithful man, who can find him? He's talking about the value of a faithful man, and that word faithful there really means a man full of faith and full of truth. Who can find a man that is living by faith, that has enough truth of God's word to stand on the word and say, this is what God's going to do in our life, this is what God is doing in our family, this is the direction we're going. So that's kind of an alert to us as men of what God wants modeled before the next generation is we're depending on God. It's a life of faith. Now, most of you understand a life of faith because you've been in church for quite a while. It means we believe what God's word says is true, and we pray and ask Him to deliver on our account and lead us by the help of the Holy Spirit to get the answers, to get the things that we are believing God for, to have the kind of life that we can look at and say, yes, God is blessing me. But he's saying here that we have to be full of faith and full of truth. sometimes full of faith is gathering the family around the dinner table and talking about what God needs to do, what we're believing God to do in our life, because we're living by faith. Most dads I know are afraid to express need or goals to a family. Scripture says we absolutely bring that forward. We put God in the middle of the need, and we honor the Lord together, and we bring the family together in agreement to see God move. That doesn't mean everything's always going to be peachy. It means sometimes we're in a wilderness moment, and we need the Holy Spirit to lead us out, to draw us out, and we're demonstrating to the next generation our dependence on God, not our independence from Him. See, if we're not careful as Americans, we put our rights before truth. It's our right to act like we've got it all together all the time, and that's a deception to the next generation who's going to wonder, how in the world can I not measure up to mom and dad who always thought they always had it together? But what in reality, we know nobody has it together all the time. Now, I have great parents. They're still living. I look back. I remember moments at the kitchen table when back in the 70s, we moved to the farm, and Dad started farming and literally started with nothing, started praying every day, praying with the family. We'd gather around the table and pray, and there were so many things that they did right, demonstrated an open dependence on God, and even would tell us kids, we won't make it without God's help, and you kids need to work really hard, by the way. They did both. So we were like a little army of workers, but we also knew God could bless us or not. And we wanted to learn what would bring God's blessing, what would work. And I remember, I'm going to tell a little story. My mom and dad are not here today, and I wanted them to be, and they couldn't be. I'm going to tell a little story about 1971, I believe it was. I might be off a year. But we moved to the farm, and farming was tough, and Dad didn't have a tool shed to work on stuff, so he worked on tractors and equipment out on the ground usually, and it was a really rough first farm year, and you know, Dad had cancer. God delivered him out of that, and he made it through right during harvest season. The neighbors all came and got all the crops out, and I remember all of that. But I remember the next year being gathered at the table, and Mom and Dad saying the farm was not going to be enough. There had to be something more, and they had always been working several jobs like most farm families do. But I remember Dad announcing, he brought out these black and white posters, and it said on it, Thawville Cobb Company. And we looked at that, thought, what in the world? He started buying corn cobs, and it said 2 cents a bushel or $2 a ton. I remember what it said. And we kids got all excited, and we prayed, and yeah, God's going to bless us because Dad prayed, and the Lord said, do this. Okay, we didn't think anything of it until we got on the school bus, and the posters were all over, and everybody said, Cobb Company. Well, now, those of you that are young don't understand this, but corn cobs were the thing they used to put in the outhouse. That was the toilet paper back turn of the century, around here anyway. Then when outhouses all got taken out or burned up, corn cobs are something you piled up and burned unless you put them in the barn for fodder. Nobody wanted them. So we went to school, you can imagine the kind of jokes about corn cobs. And a mountain of corn cobs, literally a mountain, it was the highest point in Iroquois County, was the top of the corn cob pile. It's a true story, it's the highest point. Outside Mom's window, Mom hated those corn cobs because they had a smell, you know. And she said, it smells like we're on a cattle lot, and it's just corn. Anyway, on and on and on went the story. But I watched God deliver just like He said He would. And I watched Mom and Dad in a failing farm economy of that day do well, and God bless. So I have experienced being a kid in a home like that, and being a dad in a home like that, and now being a grandpa hoping my grandkids get to see experience like that where Mom and Dad are open and vulnerable. See, the world's culture says a man can't be vulnerable, and I don't believe you should be to everybody, but you ought to be with your own family to let the family know Daddy depends on God, and you want to as well. And then I remember what happened to us as kids. We all wanted to be in on the deal and ended up driving trucks to move corn cobs and clean up behind corn shellers and work like Trojan horses. We were good hired men as kids. But I remember when the other kids would make fun at school of the business, I'd say, what's your mom and daddy buying with their money these days? My mom and daddy bought this, and daddy bought a tractor, and oh, they got real quiet. And I remember dad telling us, boys, don't brag unless you're going to brag on God. So we learned. We got to make this be just right. What did it do? It was a witness for the Lord Jesus. Vulnerability in the dad causes God to say, hey, I want to put some of my strength in that dad and let that dad show the world who's boss. Not just the dad, but that the God of the dad is a boss. And that's what every kid wants to see in their dad, is this little bit of something extra that he can brag on. And it was nothing for us to go to school and say, my dad can do whatever. It didn't matter. Whatever it was we needed done, dad could go in there and deliver it. And if somebody was ornery at school, dad didn't know this, but he knows this now. There were a few times I asked him to drive me to school. It was just so that people could see I had bragging rights, because dad was stout. He could whoop anybody. Understand, the Heavenly Father wants to put that in every family. And not just the physical, but the ability to understand, my dad knows God, and God knows my dad, and it's going to work out just the way God said, just the way dad said. So that's what he's talking about in this verse, a man full of faith and truth. Then he says, the just man walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him. That word integrity just means full of God and innocence and simplicity. I'm glad they made it sound so easy to be a man of integrity. It means keep it innocent, keep it simple, but stay full of God. I hope that's part of the motivation of men being in church, is just to stay full of God, as full of God as we can. That's what he says is going to cause children to be blessed in the next generation. I'm glad God said, if I just stay full of God, he will take care of my kids being blessed. Now, for a man, that's a different kind of pressure. That's a I have to love God pressure instead of I have to do everything perfect. He doesn't say we have to do everything perfect. We will not. We cannot. Now, verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. He's talking about being discerning of spiritual things, of being led by the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about something that is somewhat disappearing in the world today. There is a place, a way we live, that we are led by the Holy Spirit. I believe that one of the most important things that I can convey to any person, but especially to men, is there is a way to grow in being led by the Holy Spirit. As I listened at camp, and really in any setting, what people mostly want to know about is how to hear the voice of God for direction in their own life and to make decisions. So I want to point back to what I see in the Scripture, that one of the places is here, that talks about how to be led by the Holy Spirit and what we can do to have a life that is supernaturally directed by God. Because that's what it takes to get into God's promised land for you and your family. That's what it takes. The Holy Spirit's help, because the devil, the enemy of God, has the right to keep it cloaked so long as we don't draw on the Holy Spirit, who knows everything and can show us what's coming. The Holy Spirit is the key. Who is he? He's God with us. So whenever a dad experiences a day that starts out in the blessing and ends in the wilderness, just remember, he is with you. And he's got the answer in how to wake up coming out of the wilderness the next day. Because I believe that life is so full of potholes designed by the enemy that if a man looks at day-to-day performance, discouragement sets in, and pretty soon it's like, if I just don't work harder, I'm not going to make it. That's the trick of the devil for men to die younger than they're supposed to die and be preoccupied with trying to earn a dollar. When he's really telling us, if we'll learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, our efforts will produce more. That's part of the meaning of the blessing of God, is our efforts take on a greater harvest. There's a greater reaping for the seed sown. That should really apply around here, even this year. So discerning of spiritual things, that means God can open our ears and eyes to hear and know some things. I hope to, before the year's out, teach a series along those lines. And take our time to talk about how to hone in those skills. Because I find the more I develop them, the happier I am. The more delighted I am. The more I can step back and trust the Lord. I think in this generation, it's gotten hard to trust people. If we're not careful, we think trusting God is like trusting people. Trusting God is where you learn what trust is. Because He keeps His word. He just wants us to keep our side and be a doer of the word. Now, so He wants us to be discerning of spiritual things. He says, love not sleep or you'll come to poverty. Open your eyes and you shall be satisfied with bread. He wants to be the one to show us opportunity. He wants us to be alert. Think of it this way. He's talking about sleep here literally and, you know, getting out of bed and going to work and doing something. So Scripture says that we need to work. We need to be doing something. But He's also just before that saying there's a hearing ear and a seeing eye that God wants to work through to show us the right opportunity. As I pray for our area and for the people in our area, and especially for the men in our area, I pray, God, open our eyes to what it is we're supposed to do that has more supernatural result. Father, tie our heart to doing the kingdom work that you have for us so that we will have the faith to get provision easier so we have a little time or a little cash to do something for you. I believe that's all in the heart of our church. I believe that we see that week to week, but I'm praying that that heart that's in you be increased. And this is how He says it will happen. He wants us to open our eyes. I've learned how to do that. Holy Spirit, help me see what I need to see in a day and not miss what's important in this day. Close my eyes to things that will take away my energy to unproductive work and open my eyes to what's important for the kingdom, for the church, for the family, and for me. It put me last. Why? He says, if I will take care of the kingdom, He'll take care of me. Now, when we begin to pray that way, watch what will happen. Watch what will happen in the home, not just for the dad, but I want to tell the dad something. You are to be, scripturally, the spiritual head of the house. If there's not a dad in the house, then mom, tag, you are it. But what we do is we choose to do what God says, and then that anointing or that blessing gets on the whole downline. Why? We just got it from the Heavenly Father by faith, and we just put it on the family. And watch what happens in the youngsters as they begin to have ideas and God begins to give them stuff and bless them. And how they learn to tie honoring the Lord with the blessing of God in their life instead of perform, 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 perform. See, if we're not careful, we set our kids up to try to be satisfied by getting their life together the way the world does, and we're supposed to put God on top of the heap and keep Him there. Now, so we ask the Holy Spirit for what the real opportunity to provide looks like. Now, here's the verse that I most wanted to get to, and then I go to the New Testament mention of the same thing. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. This is how He opens our eyes. You are a spirit being. Scripture teaches you're a spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is your inner man. Your spirit is the part of you that God talks to. He's going to talk to your inward man. Now, this is a concept, I can't teach it today, I'm just going to point it out where it is. We'll have to teach it more another time. But the part God uses is our spirit. You can't be led by the Holy Spirit with logic. You are led by the Holy Spirit by the more Scripture you know. See, the Scripture is what God points back to as the truth and wisdom that He's talking about. But it comes from down in here. See, here's the wonderful thing about your spirit. When I preach, your spirit says, yes, amen, I have that, I want that, I'm keeping that. And your brain will process and say, oh, got other things to do. That's the difference between spirit and soul. Your soul wants to act in the moment. It is more reactionary. Your spirit is saying, we are building a house on a foundation that's going to last forever. whose builder and maker is God, and I am in partnership with God, and our spirit recognizes the difference. Now, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Say, what does that mean? That means down inside of you is the ability to receive direction from God, and it comes from down here. It comes from having a knowing down here. Why? When you take in spiritual food, you don't digest it and just take in nutrients. The spiritual food locks into your spirit and says, we are fueling this man with this knowledge and information. And the more you renew your mind to it, the more your head will line up with what you've got down in your heart. And pretty soon, the two can walk in agreement. But until you learn to listen to your spirit, you will be a person in conflict all the time. You'll hear something like I'm teaching today and say, only if that could be true about me. So you've got to decide it is your truth and renew your mind and say, I am going to have life like he is talking about. And trust me, if I can learn it, you can learn it. Okay, I'm just telling you, some things came difficult for me, and things that have come difficulty for me, I like to teach on the most because I've learned something. I was not a freak or a weirdo. If it's difficult for me, it's probably difficult for everybody, and I just make that assumption and try to teach it in a way we can get a hold of it. So you learn to listen down in here to what it is the Holy Spirit's saying. And so he says, this is what searching means, to search out and expose. Your spirit inside of you hears the word of God. And here's what you have to decide, to be a doer or not. The first step of being a doer is you start saying it. I am having this blessed life that pastor just taught. And you go back to these verses, say, God, I'm having this. I'm having this kind of wisdom. I'm going to be led by your Holy Spirit. You start saying that, and what you are doing is you are speaking out God's word, and your spirit man on the inside of you is the candle saying, I'm going to lead you to it. And you start finding yourself moving in a direction of what you are saying. That's why it says in Mark 11 that we will have whatsoever we say. It isn't a magical thing that God does. It's something that we program our heart to follow after. When you speak things out of your mouth, it tells your inward man what to do. We have learned by the first part of this message, if you want to speak out a curse, your spiritual man has a responsibility to obey the words that just came out of your mouth, and you will have whatsoever you say. That's not taught much today, but I've been around people say, oh, nothing ever works out for me. And it won't. You watch. It will not. They can be prayed for by 100,000 preachers, most anointed, fall down on the ground, wiggle and jiggle and everything else. And they're still going to have whatsoever they said. Why? They've got to change the outcome. Why? We have authority over ourselves. See, your spirit in you, God said, hey, listen to him. Listen to the inward man. Fill him full of the word of God. Why, your spirit hears the word and goes, ooh, I like that. Ooh, I need that. Or, never heard that before. I better, what happens? Then? We start to say something. So, well, that's ridiculous. You'll not get the promise of God any other way. We are in a covenant that depends on us lining up with God's will, and that breaks the power of the devil. How you break the power of the devil isn't being more intellectual than everybody else or even knowing more scripture in your head than anybody else. It's listening to the Holy Spirit direct you, recognizing he is in you, and your spirit becomes a candle in the dark saying, we are going to that place. Your spirit is the supernatural part of you, the most supernatural part of you, the part of you that is like the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is your teacher, your guide, your counselor, your comforter. He's the one called alongside to help, and he can't help you unless you are saying out of your mouth something that's in agreement with God. So if you have a bad relationship, or you don't have enough finances, or you are physically ill, choose to talk about what you want and where you're going in the plan of God rather than where you're standing right now, and you'll start coming out of the wilderness. When he talks about coming into the promised land, we have to line up with God's word and begin to say so we can have the whatsoever, because we're going to have the whatsoever. I've learned to be a more of a listener than I am a talker. When I'm around people and they come and they something's wrong, I just listen to them for a while. If they're talking about everything that's wrong in their life and they don't have any faith mixed with it, there's their problem. They're telling their inward man, let's stay in trouble all the time. So I want to encourage you, choose, remember, to be full of faith and truth. That's a faithful man. That's why the faithful man can abound with blessing, because the faithful man has learned there's a connection between this tongue that's connected to this brain and this spirit man on the inside. And I'm going to put God first. Here's where he is. He's not living in our head, living in our spirit. I'm going to put him first, and he's living in here, and it's going to change the way I think about things. And as I change the way I think about things, I'm going to change the way I live and move and have my being about things. I believe you can, with God's help, change anything and everything, and there is no wilderness that can hold you if you'll change what you say. Here's the beauty of it. You don't even have to believe it yet to be saying it. You say it enough, you'll start believing it. People try to believe first. Good luck with that. That doesn't work. I'm going to tell you right now, that doesn't work. You've been programmed with unbelief. You deprogram unbelief by speaking out words of faith and words of life. And you don't get caught in a pity pot and say, oh, but I've been in this wilderness, Pastor. You don't understand for 20 years. I understand you've had a bad mouth for 20 years. That's what I understand. Well, I believe that the Bible is true. I believe we can get out of any kind of trouble he said we could if we agree with what his word says. This is how we become a doer. We start talking it. That's the biggest part of doing is talking. Why? Our spirit is designed to go with what we say. It's a light in a dark place. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, this is paraphrased, but this is exactly what it means. You speak God's words and your human spirit searches out the pathway to make it happen. You speak out God's words. See, we get so caught up and think, oh, but the devil's preventing me. Change what you say. Tell him he can't prevent you anymore. Tell him you're like a slippery pig that you can't be caught.
That's right.
I mean, I've said that many a times. You'll not lay a hand on me. You might try, but you're not getting me, and I'm not getting hemmed in. And what happens is you will have whatsoever you say. So the blessed man has some saying to do. So I'm trying to encourage men to be bold enough to speak out faith, even if you're alone in your truck or alone in your tractor or alone in whatever you drive. When you're alone in that place, talk to God. You're not alone. And you will have whatever you say. Say, Pastor, you really believe? I believe that with all of my heart, or I wouldn't be a preacher. See, that's the one thing I look at that and say, whoo, that gives me the ability to navigate into God's perfect will without having to be all upset and concerned all the time about it. Now, you learn to navigate by your inward man. Proverbs 28:20 says, a man who is faithful shall abound with blessing. This is what faithfulness looks like. Life full of challenges and wilderness moments, but we find ourselves in a wilderness, we don't say, oh, well, I made 25 mistakes this week, and now I'm in such a deep hole, they might as well cover me up. No. You say, however I got in here is not important, but I'm coming up out of here right now in Jesus' name, and I'm going to have what I say, and by nightfall, I'm going to feel differently. Sometimes you need to feel better. So sometimes if you share too much about the hole you're in with your sweetheart and you get home and she's whole-minded all of a sudden, you got to change what you just put in her. Now, she might be trying to change what you put in her by the time you get home. So I've been praying about this all day, and now, yes, I know we need to be in faith. Sorry, I ran my mouth like a bulldozer today and dug a big hole. Well, you can turn the same bulldozer on, cover the hole in, come right up out of it. And that's what we do. That's what we learn to do. That's what living by faith is. Not a life free of problems, but one that has a solution for everything by the word of God and the word of truth. That's what a faithful man looks like. That's what abounding in blessing looks like. It's to recognize when there's some kind of resistance or difficulty or problem, I am going to talk. I'm going to line my mouth up right because I am going to have whatever I say. Stand to your feet. I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for every dad, every father, every person literally in this house. But Father, today, we want your DNA from Heavenly Father to come down into us in a greater way. We want to be more and more like you. We want to walk in authority and power and ability in this life that we know came from you. You're going to fill the blank spots. Father, it's like our spiritual DNA got messed with by the devil, but you make the difference. You fill in the gaps, and we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And today represents one of those moments of rebirthing in hope and faith. faith and expectation for a better future than we've ever had before. Father, I call every man in this place an anointed man of God. Father, I thank you that we are led by your Holy Spirit. Our candle never grows dim. It never goes out. The winds of adversity can't put it out. When we enter into a dark place in the wilderness, you will lead us right out, because we'll say out of our mouth, surely the Lord Jesus will lead my path every day in every way of my life into blessing and into goodness, and my family also shall follow suit in serving the Lord, and it shall be well with our house. The blessing of the Lord is taking care of me every day because I am taking care of his business. Now, Heavenly Father, impart faith supernaturally into our hearts to be encouraged, to be built up. Father, for men particularly in this church, bump on each other, encourage one another, thump each other in the head when we need it. But Father, above all, bring encouragement and wise counsel wherever it's sought out. Father, you said there clearly, we got to ask and seek it out if we want it. Father, let this be the askingest bunch of men around looking for your wisdom, because you want to fill us with your wisdom and your ability, and we choose to receive it by faith now. And Father, thank you that every house will be a house of honor, and it won't only be today. We'll remember the impact of honor releases the blessing of God, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.